Yet he had to admit it had worked out. Manthir had made his final approach to the city under cover of darkness, using local fishermen as pilots. Yushai's garrison hadn't expected him until early afternoon at the earliest. When he'd actually launched his attack on the harbor at dawn, he'd caught them napping. The local batteries had been more dangerous than they would have been as little as a year before, since the Harchongese had given a high priority to producing fortress artillery to protect their building capacity. But Manthir had gone in close anyway, anchored by the stern, and laid down rolling broadside fire from 10 of his galleons. In the event, he'd been lucky in several ways, including the fact that the wind had been setting from the east-northeast when he actually attacked. It hadn't been a particularly strong wind, which had made things interesting for the 9 galleons, including Prince of Dolar, told off to attack the Harchongese's newly built warships when the harbor defense galleys sortied. On the other hand, it had also meant the blinding banks of smoke had built up in layered walls between his ships and the defensive batteries and then stayed there. The smoke screen of his own broadsides had done far more than the storm of grape shot and round shot with which he'd swept the batteries to protect his galleons and schooners from the defenders. HMS North Bay had lost her mainmast anyway, and her sister ship, Rock Point, had suffered over 60 casualties when 2 of the new, big Harchongese galleys managed to claw through her broadsides and run alongside. Fortunately, that was about the best the galleys had managed. Not for want of trying or lack of courage, but in the face of such complete surprise, they'd never managed to get organized. They'd sortied from the inner harbor in whatever order they could, coming in piecemeal, and Manthir's galleons, despite their own anemic wind-limited mobility, had cut them up badly as they attacked in dribs and drabs. In fact, his squadron had sunk 2 and captured 17 of them, and the handful of shaken survivors had beaten a sullen retreat. All the captured ships had been burned once their crews had been taken off, which would have been eminently worthwhile in its own right. But Manthir had also converted 6 captured coasters into fire ships, stuffed to the deckheads with turpentine, old sails, barrels of pitch, and every other flammable substance. One had drifted off course when the tiller ropes burned through too quickly. A 2nd had been grappled by a particularly courageous galley skipper and towed clear. But the other 4 had made no mistake. Their volunteer crews had fired them at almost exactly the right moment and taken to their own boats just before their flaming vessels sailed directly into the closely moored hulls of 15 Imperial Harchong Navy galleons, still in the process of fitting out. 12 of those galleons had become total losses, and 1 of the survivors had been badly damaged. 2 more had survived only because they'd been upwind from the initial fire, and their fast-thinking crews had been given just enough time to scuttle them before the holocaust sweeping through their consorts reached them. They'd settled to the shallow bottom with only their upper decks above water, and the Harchongese seamen had managed to keep the still-exposed portions of their ships from catching fire. Even so, they were going to be out of service for months while they were pumped out, raised, and then repaired. It would have been even better if Manthir had been able to administer the same treatment to Gorath Bay, but fortunately, he showed no signs of lapsing into outright insanity. "I agree he's doing well. Extremely well, especially considering that he doesn't have any access to the Snarks," Merlin said. "In fact, the damage he's already done completely justifies sending him out in the first place. And if the Dolorans are feeling more confident after Yushai, the Harchongese aren't. I just wish there were some way we could get him that access." The Sajan shook his head. "I'm afraid he's underestimating how quickly Thirsk's strength is building up." "He may be, Caleb conceded. Unfortunately, as you pointed out to me before Harrell's Crossing, there are still going to be times when we have information we just can't figure out how to share with the people who need it. And even though he probably doesn't realize how badly he's about to be outnumbered, he's taking it for granted he will be outnumbered when the moment comes. When you come down to it, aside from telling him exactly where Thirsk is at any given moment, that's really all we could tell him from the Snarks anyway.
I know, Merlin sighed. It's just that you worry about friends, Merlin, Caleb said with a soft, sad little chuckle. We know. Believe us, we know.